Javad, good morning.
Hiya, morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Firstly, what was the inspiration behind Believers Are But Brothers?
Well, for me, I mean, the project came out of me. I've always been an early adopter of technology and social media, and I get a lot of enjoyment and pleasure from it. And then in about 2016, when the issue of young people from Europe going off to go join Islamic State was, like, first being talked about the mainstream media, I noticed that, in my opinion, the discussion that was going on in terms of the conversation on the mainstream media felt to me not very finely grained and a little bit dealing in cliche, if you like. And I noticed that a lot of the young people who were claiming to have gone to join Islamic State actually had their own social media accounts, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, that kind of thing. And so I just thought, well, it'd be interesting to try and send them some messages to see if they'd get back to me, basically. So in a way, one of the overarching threads of the show is the story of me just lurking about and sending some messages and trying to have conversations with people, you know, on that side of things, or on the more sort of far-right, racist, you know, white extremist side of things.
I mean, speaking of lurking about online, I understand this did take you to some, venturing into some dark places online, such as it were, and communicating with some of these individuals.
Yeah.
Was it a little bit unnerving, given what we know about government surveillance, at the very least?
Yeah, for sure it was. For sure it was. And we were, you know, the law in terms of the creative use of that sort of research and the creative use of that sort of archive is very, let's say, opaque, especially in the UK because of the Prevention of Terrorism Act. So we were lucky enough to work with a brilliant organisation called the Index on Censorship, who work with artists whose work is in that sort of place. And they were, like, brilliantly supportive of what we're doing and helped us out with sort of pro bono legal support and stuff.
Now, I understand, obviously, as you mentioned there, this has opened in the UK. It was very well received when it opened in the UK. And as you mentioned, it was originally inspired by young fighters that were leaving from Europe in order to go and fight in these foreign wars. Bringing it to Australia, was there, you know, particular thoughts around, you know, whether we need it here as well?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's really like, we've toured this extensively internationally, and we'll carry on touring internationally. So after it opened at the Edinburgh Fringe, where, you know, we had a very good year, and the festival was really kind, and we won a Fringe First Award. And then we toured the UK, transferred to London to an off West End theatre called The Bush. Then it's been to Sweden, so toured Sweden, toured Canada, and we come here. And then next year we're going to America after we open a different show in Edinburgh. So, and what I found is that, like, around the world, this work has really found an audience who feel a sense of community. Do you know, those of us in the world, around the world, who are sort of looking at the assault on certain values that I suppose for a lot of us we thought after the Second World War were sacrosanct and not for debate, and how kind of the internet and masculinity and these one-off but seemingly linked, like, grotesque acts of violence from both, you know, Islamic extremist groups or white supremacist extremist groups, how we have this feeling of slightly being out of control, is found an audience that really want to get together and think about that. And because it's got this interactive element, you know, I'm a big believer, I'm a political, you know, artist, basically, I'm a political theatre maker, and I'm a big believer that my job, you know, I'm involved in politics and stuff like that, but when I'm being an artist, when I'm being a theatre maker, my job isn't to, like, lecture people or whatever, it's to entertain, it's to provoke a little bit, and it's to make people feel connected to, or perhaps implicated in or complicit with things that sometimes we just think are kind of off out of sight. So one of the things we use that interactivity to show is how much the tentacles of things like the far right or kind of Islamic radical groups are actually a lot closer to the websites we use every day than we think. I have a line in the play. I'm not going to, you know, I hasten to add, it's also quite a funny show in places. There's a real dark sense of humour to a lot of this stuff. I mean, you have to have, you know. But I have a line in the show where I say, everything that I talk about in this play is in the machine that you carry, that machine in your pocket that you carry around everywhere, and it's only ever at the most 3 clicks away.
And I did just want to touch on that without sort of giving the game away, obviously. But, you know, you think of a traditional theatre performance, you go into a theatre and obviously you're told to turn off your mobile phones.
Yeah.
I was quite curious about the involvement of mobile technology in this play in terms of interaction.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been quite a wild old ride because obviously the show is about, I suppose, like, without making it sound like a dry show, as I say, it's not dry at all, but, like, I come from a background of, like, slightly experimental theatre and filmmaking. And so in that tradition, like, if you're telling a story about something, you want to use that something to tell your story because it allows you to be playful with it and slightly have a little bit of, you know, magic, a little bit of spice to things. And so me and my co-creator, Kirsty Hoosley, when we were putting this thing together, we were like, well, if we're talking about how social media sort of shapes masculinity and political discourse, we're going to have to do some stuff, like some of the play will have to be on social media. So we started playing around with an app called WhatsApp and realized that helped us do a little bit of storytelling and stuff. And it's funny, like, you know, audiences have tended to love that. And there's a fair few moments of interactivity where the audience sort of shape what happens on that. Mm. And people really get into that, you know, and then there's some other stuff that happens on there as well. But there's been a couple of times where we've come into conflict with the great traditions of the theatre where, for instance, we played a theatre that will remain nameless in southern England who we have a poster outside that says, you know, for this play, please join this, you know, you will be helped to join this WhatsApp group. Please leave your phone on and leave your ringtones on. And they'd put this poster, our special sort of sign up, above, you know, one of those digital posters for, like, different shows that were coming after. And that digital poster was programmed to always, at the bottom of the poster, say, please turn off your mobiles before entering the auditorium.
A little bit confusing, I could say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just, you know, again, without sort of giving the game away, but given this is dealing with some pretty serious issues in our society right now, I mean, what are you hoping to kind of stick in audience members' minds as they leave the theatre? Is it looking at the idea of intervention, hoping that somebody will take this message on board and intervene with them crossing over to this ideology? Or is it about understanding that, you know, we're not so far apart from these things after all?
You know what, Mike? Yeah, I mean, the sort of work I tend to make, even when I make more traditional theatre, I directed a revival of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, for instance, in England recently. And even when I make those more traditional shows, I often, or TV programmes, my work tends to sit between sort of fiction and documentary. And I think what I always joke that, like, I think the best theatre is the play where when people get a drink in the bar afterwards, they're sort of arguing about what it was and what it meant. And so that's, or, you know, the next day something jumps out at you. So for me, as I say, it's not about lecturing people or teaching people something or banging on about something. It's about giving that, I suppose, in a way, giving that a sense of, like, a more finely grained understanding of something or feeling connected to something. I mean, I always say, you know, I'm just about old enough to remember that breathless period in the early 2000s when the internet was going to set us all free, ushering a new era of democracy and all this kind of stuff before it all felt sort of like kind of bad news. But I mean, you know, we can't get away from the fact that at the same time that groups like ISIS have used social media, and we've seen how, like, kind of through, you know, various hackers and stuff have influenced elections in the UK and the US through social media. At the same time, you know, social media is also the birthplace of the Me Too movement. It's also, you know, we can also talk about the struggles for democracy in the Middle East and how they're using social media. And so I suppose what I want to do is just, you know, give people something which is entertaining, which is interactive, which is in places funny, and to be honest with you, in places quite, I think, quite moving, because what these young lads are going through, not to soften who they are and the terrible things they do, but to kind of understand them in that way that art allows us to do.
Well, Siobhan, best of luck with the play. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.